Thank you, Lord. So this morning, I want to share a word, and if you made it out Wednesday night, you will hear similar word again today. But I have found that it is prudent to say some things more than once, and I'm grateful for those that come out for our midweek time. Now, this was the first Wednesday, so we're gathering every first Wednesday for a time of worship, prophetic ministry, for prayer, for personal ministry. But this past Wednesday, I did share as well. And so I want to share some thoughts with you that I did share on Wednesday, and maybe a few additional ones to help us continue to walk out our faith and to navigate through the season that we find ourselves in. The Bible says we are in the world, but not of the world. And that speaks to the fact that you and I are here for a season, for a certain amount of time. We are part of the kingdom of God. Say the kingdom of God. Say, I am a resident of the kingdom of God. And as a resident of the kingdom of God, there are things available to me that wouldn't be available to someone who is not. And as a resident of the kingdom of God, there are things that happen that could possibly affect me. But more than likely, it's if I allow it to affect me. And so I want to start by making this statement to you. While the government is shut down, the kingdom of God is still open. Let me get three more people to clap. I see you clapping on live stream. I see you clapping, Donna. That's a camera if you're watching, clap. The kingdom is not closed. The kingdom is not shut down. And that's a wonderful thing to know, and it's better that we walk in that revelation and that reality. So this morning, I want to frame this thought and speak from this thought, and that is divine provision connected to obedience. Divine provision connected to obedience. I didn't get no amen or nothing right there. That's okay. That's okay. Okay, that's okay. I feel like my son Nick down in Texas when he preached. I wish I had a church. He hollers out stuff like that, him and John Paul. Y'all ain't saying nothing. But I don't do that. That's not me. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, what it says. It says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. It says, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land or the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. It is, to me, it's amazing that this word says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord, meaning let's talk about this. And then he goes on and he says, if you are, one translation, King James says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Here it says, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. There is a connection between provision and obedience. There is a connection. There is also a connection between provision and location. Provision and location. There is not one person, and I'm going to show you this here in a couple of passages, where God has promised to provide, but it's with this condition. You got to get to this location, meaning you've got to hear me and be obedient. I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to provide for you wonderfully, but you've got to be in the right location. When we, Marisa and I and our family in Columbus, Ohio, and the kids were still very young, it was challenging. It was a struggle. I'm just going to use that word. I don't use it often. But it was a struggle. While staying in a place of faith and walking in faith, it was still challenging. And one day I heard the Lord say, "What I have for you is not here." And while I did not have the details of that, I told Pastor Marisa, what God has for us is not here. Now, I want you to understand that you always have a choice in these kinds of matters. Meaning, we could have stayed there. I just kept working the grind and trying to make it work. But how many of you know it's better to be in obedience and have the grace operating than working it by your hands and just barely getting by? Saved, but barely getting by. Ah, I'm talking to somebody. Saved, but barely getting by. I want to offer to you that you might want to consider where you live. And hear me now when I say where you live, I'm not talking about your street address. For you, I'm not talking about your geographical location. For us, it had to do with that. But where do you live in God? Where do you live in your relationship? Where do you live in Him? Have you walked with Him enough that's moved you down the road in your relationship that causes you to see divine provision because you've learned to respond in obedience, or as Pastor Nina says, swift obedience? Her life was saved because of swift obedience. The word that I'm wanting to get to you today is, while the government is talking about being shut down, and it may impact some folk, if any of you are impacted by what this shutdown, then I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. I'm not making light of it, but I need you to set your sights higher. On Wednesday, I used the same analogy. This is the world realm. This is the earth realm down here. And if you operate on this plane, you're going to operate out of the same place where others are impacted, and potentially you be impacted as well. From here, your view of things is skewed and limited. I use the example of being in a crowd of people, Bobby, and you're looking, but you can't see any further than the few people in front of you. You can't see any further than the few people in front of you. And I shared the example of the movie The Fugitive, where the marshal is chasing the doctor. And anybody seen that movie, The Fugitive, years ago? Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones. And in that movie, he's trying to get to the doctor. And the doctor runs out in the middle of this parade. And he's in the middle of the parade. And while he's out in the parade, the marshal can't see him. So he's doing like this. And then all of a sudden, he starts jumping. Now, you gotta realize, when you jump up in the air, you're only in the air for a few seconds. Depending on your weight, it may not be a few seconds. Okay, I'm just saying. So in the movie, here's the marshal, and he's like this. In this parade, he's jumping up. Now, I don't know what he expected to see in that millisecond of jumping up, but he's jumping up like this. His problem was he needed to get higher. And so eventually he made his way over to something, he climbed up on it. So here's what I need you to understand. You and I, the Bible says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means you have a vantage point that others don't have. So instead of you and I trying to see in the crowd, jumping up and down trying to see, trying to get a glimpse, if you just get yourself elevated in God and you get to the place where you have that kingdom vantage point, when you get up here, then you can see everything. You can see everything. And I'm telling you, this is the place where God has intended for you and I to live. So down there, the government shut down, and I'm operating now the kingdom. So every need I have is met. And here's how it works. Divine provision. So God says, okay, you're not getting the paycheck through the job that I blessed you with because the stuff they're doing, I'm going to bring the resources to you. Just stay right there. Stay in faith. Keep trusting me. I'm going to move miraculously on your behalf. You see, miracles happen when heaven invades earth. And when God steps in to, hear me, when God steps in to honor his covenant, to keep his promise. But for you and I, it will always need to be lined up with obedience. Always. It's that place of righteousness. It's that place of righteousness, right standing before God, right standing in God, meaning my life lines up with his word and his will for my life. So in the midst of the shutdown, for God, he's saying it's what's happening in the world, not in my kingdom. Not in the realm of faith. Say the realm of faith. Many of you know that I wrote a book entitled Same Faith, Same God, Living in the Realm of Ridiculous Faith. I actually purchased some more copies here lately. If you're interested in a copy of that book, you can see Pastor Jamal, please, at the end of service, and he can get him out the car, and we'll provide one for you. But it's learning to live in that place so that when things happen the way that they're happening, you want to stay aware. Stay aware. Say aware. You want to be aware of your surroundings, but you don't want to get stuck so that you're not having to be affected by what everybody else is being affected by. So I'm watching when there's the countdown for the shutdown of the government. I'm watching CNN, and I'm watching them. It's 2 hours, and they hitting that thing hard, talking about it. And the Republicans are blaming the Democrats, and the Democrats are blaming the Republicans. And it's a mess. And I'm watching it so that I can be aware. But I keep telling myself, I'm not a part of that. I will not be affected by that. I'm just simply saying, I live in a higher place, and my daddy is going to make sure I'm taken care of. David said it this way, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus says this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly before him, meaning in that place of righteousness. Man, this is good stuff, and I ain't read one thing out of these notes yet. Pastor Marie said, I don't know if I'm going to get to this or not. I'm going to get to it a little bit. Is this good or is it just me, David? Am I? So when God spoke to me and said, what I have for you is not here, I had to make the decision. I talked to Pastor Marisa. She's followed me from place to place to place to place. And so her crown in heaven is going to be real big. The jewels in her crown are going to be real big. She's followed me from place to place to place to place. And I thank God for his mercy, his grace. Most of all, I thank him for his favor. Because he has proven his word. And he does it over and over and over again. So we would do well, you would do well in this season to say, God, in the midst of what's going on, what are you requiring of me? Now in Genesis 26, verse 1, it's about Isaac. It says, now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. Now, I want you to know that there are certain things that come in cycles and in seasons. Famine is one of them. That's what we see in the scriptures. Right now, government shut down. This is the second time it's been shut down. Last time it was shut down was with the same president and administration. It was shut down for how many days? 35 days? 35 days. Here's what I said on Wednesday as well. See, as believers, you want to see it again. You gotta see it. You gotta see it from this kingdom vantage point. Because now, hear me now, the Oval Office guy is saying we can cut jobs that we wouldn't have touched had the government not shut down. While there is the shutdown, people are going to be looking for answers. And hear me, God has a way of letting it shut down. Because there's people who will not come to him any other way. So is it possible is it possible? Here's the thing, y'all. Let's take a moment and pray for those who are coming into the kingdom as a result of the government being shut down. The system is being taken out of the way so that what they thought they had, they're going to start to turn to the Lord. Can we do that right now? Come on, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Come on, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Father God, we come to you, we look to you, our eyes are on you. And your word makes us to know that we are part of an unshakable kingdom. And so, Father, give us divine insight right now that we're able to see that right now there are those who are challenged and struggling and wondering what they're going to do. Let this be the moment that they turn to you. Let this be the moment that they open their heart to receive you, so that from, as an ending of this particular shutdown, more will come into the kingdom because they recognize you are the source. You are our only source. And so, Father, we call them in right now from the north, south, east, and west. We call them in right now. Come on, I need y'all to press in just a little more. Come on, press in just a little more. That right now, God is moving on the hearts of many who are struggling, challenged, fearful. But word is coming to them. Doors are opening for them to receive the gospel. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Yes. And Father, we pray right now that the kingdom be manifested. Manifest your kingdom. And Father, may we be as bold to pray. Let this shut down. Go as long as it needs to go to every soul that you have intended to reach during this time comes into your kingdom. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, if you agree with that, would you just shout amen and just lift up praise? Come on. See, that's a kingdom vantage point prayer right there. That's praying from up here. That's praying from up here. Isaac is now in the midst of a famine, not unlike what occurred with his father. It goes on and says, so Isaac was in Gerar, went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. The Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. Now, it's talking about divine provision connected to location, connected to obedience. He's saying, don't go to Egypt. Stay in the land. Don't go to Egypt. In Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1, it says this, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Because it's easy for you and I to execute a plan. It's dangerous when you're smart. It's dangerous when you're intelligent or you think you are. It's dangerous when you're creative. It's dangerous when you're gifted. Because you can be in the illusion, the delusion, I'll use that word, that you think you got it and you know what you're doing. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, to make an alliance, but not of my spirit. In order, now here's the danger, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me. To take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. He's telling Isaac, don't go down there. Stay here. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. God is always looking to fulfill his word, always looking to fulfill his covenant. He honors his word and his covenant down through the generations. It's one of the reasons why God has us speaking about, talking about, teaching about this covenant relationship. Because there's more that God wants to bring to us as we walk in obedience to his word. It goes on and says, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands. And by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because Abraham obeyed me. Say generational legacy. Come on, say generational blessing. Say generational favor. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Don't ever think that you got where you are all by yourself. Somebody somewhere prayed. It may not have been your parents, but it's somewhere in the line, somebody prayed. And you and I benefit from that. He tells him, don't go down there, sojourn, which means to stay here temporarily. Oftentimes, God will put us in a holding pattern. Cause us to be patient. Learn to be patient. Get more patience. And then when we hear clearly from him, that's when it's time to move. That's when it's time to go. I told you, I went 15 years from 1997 when my doctor said to me, we need to keep an eye on your PSA. That's the number connected to the prostate. 15 years I went in that holding pattern. And that number went up and up and up and up. And all I kept saying was, Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? That's a prayer you want to pray. It's a good prayer to pray anytime. Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? When it's something heavy, when it's something light. You're in a grocery store, and they got eggs on sale. You know, Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? Get two of them. You know, it really is good to acknowledge him in those small things. It's good to acknowledge him in the small things. Then you can hear him with the big things. Lord, do I get this or do I get this? He might say, get both. Divine provision is connected to obedience. And it's connected to location. So many people, so many believers struggle because disobedience and in the wrong location. I'm not speaking to you revelatory. I'm not speaking to you hypothetically. I know I've lived it. Glad to be out of it. Got the t-shirt, got the cup, got the hat. Been there, done that, not doing that ever again. Can I just get two people to say, I know what you're talking about? Isaac responds in obedience. And when you drop down to verse 12, you see the blessing of it. Now, Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. Why? And the Lord blessed him and made, and the man became rich and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. You do understand there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. It says, for he had possessions of flocks and herds and a great household, so that the Philistines envied him. I want you to grab a hold of this, that we really are in a season that as you and I learn to live out of the place of kingdom and that place of that kingdom vantage point, so your view is not skewed by things that you're seeing in the natural, that God is responding supernaturally, and you can believe for divine provision to come to you in this season. Hear me now, because for some of you, God wants you to be part of his answer in the life of someone else. So they're able to see, you don't seem to be affected by this government shutdown. No, I'm not. And let me tell you why. See, that's you having the opportunity to say to them, the kingdom of God is here. That's why when Jesus sent out the 12 and he sent out the 70, he said, when you go into the house, heal any of the sick, eat with them, and tell them, the kingdom of God is here. You and I are kingdom citizens. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Isaac lived in this locale with other people around him, but he didn't live on the same level. God gave him a promise. You stay right here and I will bless you. Isaac had to make the decision to be obedient, just like his daddy had to make the decision to be obedient and leave his family and just head out, not knowing where he was going, but God would tell him. The benefit for Isaac was he's at least telling him immediately, if you will, stay here. Stay right here. Don't go down to Egypt. You'll find in the scriptures, it always says down. Egypt is always going down. Don't go down to Egypt. Egypt is a type and it represents the arm of the flesh. It represents bondage. You never hear the word Egypt and think about a flourishing place. You never hear the word Egypt and think about vacation time. Where are you going on vacation? Oh, I'm going to Egypt. Now, some people may do that in terms of a tour, those kinds of things. But by and large, you're not going to find anything in the scriptures that tells you when you can go to Egypt. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you in a minute how Joseph picked out a spot for his family in the midst of Egypt, and that's what God blessed. See, God can bless you in the midst of an Egypt experience if you're in obedience. If, as a believer, you're living out of the place of the kingdom vantage point, so you're not dealing with, struggling with, challenged by what everybody's seeing on this plane. Is this making sense to you? It says that Isaac became so rich, he became wealthy, and the Philistines envied him, and eventually they came to him and said, we need you to leave. You got way too much. We need you to leave. Divine provision will always be connected to obedience and location. It will always be connected to obedience and location. We talked about 1 Kings 17, Elijah. Elijah prophesied there's no rain, and there wasn't any rain. But God moved and provided divinely for him when he said, now you get to the brook, because there, say there, y'all. There I've commanded the ravens to provide for you. He gets there, and the ravens bring him food every day, and he's drinking the water at the brook, because there's no water coming from heaven. The heavens are shut up. And when the brook dries up, God has already made provisions for him somewhere else. Say there. Yeah, so you see, divine provision is often connected to obedience and location. He had to be willing and obedient. Get up and head to Zarephath. Because there, say there, there I've commanded a widow woman to provide for you. I want to reiterate something I've said so often in this place of faith. Often God will speak to you, and the moment he speaks to you and you begin to move in obedience, that which he has provided for you is already coming together for you. Once you get to where you're supposed to be, it will be there waiting for you. In the midst of this government shutdown is when God can show forth his greatest glory in providing for his people, in providing for you, and providing for me. He's doing it. I said he's doing it. He's doing it. One of the biggest mistakes you and I can make is to either be out of employment or lose a job, however it happens, and then now you want to pray to God to provide. When the reality is, he's always been providing. He's always providing. Come on, y'all, we can't get that twisted. You can't, you don't want to start praying like, God, I need you to come through. Well, I was coming through every paycheck you got. That was me making sure that company stayed open. That was me making sure you got that raise. That was me making sure you got that increase. It was me making sure you got that health insurance. It was me that you got, how you got that Roth IRA and all those things in place. It's me. It's God. And that never changes. Elijah recognized that my provision and blessing is in obedience. So he gets up and he gets to Zarephath. He gets to Zarephath, meets the widow woman. She's out gathering sticks. Pulled her into his realm of faith because she's about to die. There are people, hear me now, there are people right now in the midst of this shutdown and in the current times we're in who are struggling to believe they're at the end of themselves. Just like that widow woman said, she felt she was at the end of herself. You know, it is a deep statement to say, I'm going to make a cake for me and my son. We're going to eat it. And what'd she say after that, y'all? And die. How many of you know that state? There ain't no faith up in there any kind of way. No hope of a future at all. I mean, if she'd have said, I only got enough. I'm going to make a cake for me and my son. We're going to eat it. And we're going to have to wait and see what God does next. She said, we're going to eat it and we're going to die. He said, hold up, sis. Before you do that, make a cake for me. Now, somewhere in that interaction, she decides to do that. It's what he says next that really throws her. And bring me a little drink, a cup. That's what gets her off. Stop. Wait a minute, you're not hearing me. And then prophetically, he speaks to her the way that I'm endeavoring to speak to you right now. For as believers, the day of getting by, as kingdom residents, citizens, the day of just getting by has come to an end. Not is coming to an end. It has come to an end. Come on, you need to look at somebody and say, it's over. It's over. Just and say this, I'm not struggling anymore. It's over. We're not robbing Peter to pay Paul anymore. We're not shooting Peter and holding Paul hostage. I'm talking about the kind of things we do, y'all. The kind of things that we do. That woman, that widow, responded to the prophet, and the Bible says she, her son, and that prophet ate for many days. Obedience, say obedience. Divine provision is connected to obedience. The 5,000 that were fed, the 4,000 that were fed, it was as a result of obedience. Isn't it interesting that the very first miracle that's recorded in the scriptures had to do with provision? Jesus comes to a wedding. His mom says, honey, son, we out of wine. He said, why are you asking me? She said, you know what to do. He calls the servant. Now, this is the obedient part. Take these containers, fill them with water, and then dip out a scoop of water and take it to the table. Say obedience. Come on, say obedience. Divine provision connected to obedience. The very first miracle was one of provision. That ought to tell us something. So somewhere between putting water in the pots and dipping it, that water turned into wine. But it was the obedience of all those involved who played a part in it happening. What is your role? What is my role in this season of being used by God to provide provision for others? I want to live in that place. I live in that place of providing provision for others. For you and I as kingdom citizens, our reality, our mindset has to be much like we see in the scriptures, particularly in the land of Goshen. When I say the word Goshen, how many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know I'm talking about a geographical location? Yeah? A few of y'all? Here's what's interesting about that. Joseph picked Goshen as the place where his family would be taken care of. In Genesis 45, starting at verse 1, it says, "Then Joseph could not control himself." Now, what's happened is, we know the story of Joseph being sold by his brothers into slavery. Ends up in Potiphar's house, ends up in prison. But even in prison, he's still utilizing his gifts. He's still keeping the right attitude. And then when the famine hits, word comes to Pharaoh that there's a guy in prison who can interpret dreams. He brings Joseph out of prison, tells him the dream. Joseph says there's going to be a famine. There's going to be 7 good years and then 7 bad years. So what we need to do is you need to stock up in the good years and get ready for the famine. Pharaoh is so impressed that he makes Joseph ruler over everything, only second to him. So Joseph sits in this place years later after having been sold by his brothers. And then we get to this point. Joseph's brothers come to Egypt because they're in need of provision. Their father sends them there. And when they get there, Joseph recognizes them. Can you imagine? When we read it through, I think they say Joseph was 17 at the time he was sold to slavery, so it was 13 years later. So this is where the story picks up. I needed to give you that context. Then Joseph could not control himself before those who stood by him, and he cried. He says, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Yeah, you got to know they were shocked. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life." You see, Joseph was lost in his will, found in his grace. He says, "For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God." I want you to see right there, he's seeing it from a kingdom vantage point. That's how you and I must live. Or else we will misread things, we will misinterpret things, and we will speak to things and be just as off as we could be. God really is in charge. Make no mistake about it. He really is in charge. "Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler of over all the land in Egypt. It says, hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me." There you did. Come down. "Do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen. And you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There, location, I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come, and you and your household and all that you have would be impoverished. Just as God allowed Joseph to establish Goshen, he has established his kingdom as that safe place for all believers and all who will come into his kingdom. Goshen. Real quick, the historical context of the land of Goshen is this. It's a land of promise. Say, land of promise. It says, Joseph secured Goshen for his family after they came to Egypt during a famine, noting it was a good land. It was good land for shepherds. He was setting them up. Make no mistake, in the midst of everything going on, God will always set you up. He will always set us up to flourish because we belong to him. Because we are his. More context, Israelite residency. The Israelites lived in Goshen from the time of Jacob until the Exodus, growing in population and becoming a great nation. Separation and protection. God set apart the land Goshen during the plagues, demonstrating his protection over his people. You remember that when the 10 plagues hit, nothing hit Goshen. Nothing affected Goshen. When it was dark and no one could see, there was light in Goshen. There's light in the kingdom. I said there's light in the kingdom. There's light in the kingdom. And wherever you go, you take the kingdom, so you bring the light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You and I are the light of the world. We walk in the midst of darkness and we manifest the kingdom. During the 10 plagues, nothing could impact or affect those that were in Goshen. It's the same for you and I. Nothing can affect us. God is protecting us. And we've got to realize that. We've got to acknowledge that. And we've got to begin to point people to that reality. There is divine provision, just as in Goshen. It was where God provided and multiplied the Israelites, fulfilling promises that he made all the way back to Abraham. Goshen speaks of spiritual separation. The unique status of Goshen during the plagues can symbolize God's call for his people to remain distinct and holy from the surrounding world. We are in the world, but not of the world. And lastly, a place of plenty. The fertile land of Goshen provided comfort and a safe haven for the Israelites, showcasing God's care for his people. God wants to showcase his care through you, through me, through us. He wants you and I to be the ones who can stand in the place, be sure-footed in our faith, in our relationship, in our confidence that every need we have is already met, and he's working through us to be a blessing to others and help bring others into his kingdom. That is our opportunity right now. Y'all quiet. Eric, come on, I need some help. Come on, Eddie. Are y'all hearing me? The government is not our source. Never has been, never will be. God is our source, and our provision is in him. It's in his kingdom. So here's the question that I need you to respond to. You don't have to do it. This is between you and the Lord. Are you seeing that divine provision in a way that causes your life to shine forth his kingdom? Are you seeing the provision that's a part of the covenant? That's one question. Secondly, if you're not, why not? And what do you need to do to get in the right place in order to see that, experience that, and be a blessing to others? That's what you want to be able to answer.